everybody. It's Valerie Young, the Dreamer in Residence at ChangingCourse.com, and I am over the top excited today because I'm going to be interviewing Larry Winget. And if you don't know Larry, and you should, he is a 5 times New York Times, Wall Street Journal best-selling author, and his books have been translated into over 20 languages, and it looks to me like 20 is his lucky number, because that's how many years of experience Larry's had speaking to nearly 400 of the Fortune 500 companies. And anybody out there who's had the pleasure of hearing Larry speak, then you would know why he is in the International Speaker Hall of Fame. And if you haven't heard him speak, then maybe you've seen Larry on national television, where he is really everywhere. So let me just run through a few of these. He has starred in his own television series on A&E called Big Spender. He was featured in 2 episodes of CNBC's The Millionaire Inside. He was the star of his own PBS special, Success Is Your Own Fault. He's a frequent business contributor on MSNBC, a regular on Fox News and Fox Business. He's been on the Today Show, Larry King Live. And you know you've made it when a car company like Hyundai knows that you're enough of a public personality to feature you in 3 national commercials, which kind of makes me want to go out and buy a Hyundai. Larry is also the trademarked Pitbull of Personal Development. And I think when you hear the titles of his 5 bestsellers, you will know why. He's written books like Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life, A Kick-Butt Approach to a Better Life. It's called Work for a Reason, Your Success is Your Own Damn Fault. And one of my personal favorites is People Are Idiots and I Can Prove It, 10 Ways You Sabotage Your Life, Money, and Business. And before we jump in, the last thing you need to know about Larry is that he has distinguished himself around the world, really, as being highly direct, caustic, irreverent, in your face, and dead on. And if that wasn't enough, the guy is ridiculously funny. So welcome, Larry Winget.
Hey, what an introduction. I'm almost interested in hearing what I have to say as a result of that introduction.
You should be. Well, I'm always interested to know what you say. So we're just going to jump right in. As you know, I work with people, Larry, who want to do work that they love. They want to find a way to make a living without what I call a job. So they talk a lot about making that leap from having a boss to being their own boss, but the reality is a lot of people never take action. So why do you think that is? I'm sure you have an opinion on this.
Well, I've got an opinion on everything. I think a lot of people don't take action simply because they're afraid. I would say they probably should be afraid. It's a whole different world out there once you become your own boss. Then you're responsible for everything. Who's going to sweep the floors? Probably you are. And who's going to make all the decisions? You are. And who's going to be responsible if it fails? Just you. And so there is a need for a healthy amount of fear, which means if you're afraid of what might happen, then you need to do the appropriate preparation. And that's where I really see most people lacking. They don't prepare. I get so many letters, and I get hundreds of letters a month, hundreds of them on every topic. And one of the most prominent area of questioning is about this. I wanted to be my own boss. I started my own company, and now I'm in trouble. And I always say, did you do anything to prepare? Did you read a book on what it takes to be in business? Did you read a book on personal finance and business finance, or how to incorporate, or whether you should have gone with an S-Corp, a C-Corp, an LLC? Did you ever take the time to study marketing and how you're actually going to market that product that you've been so proud to produce? Did you do any of those things? And everybody goes, no, I didn't do any of that. Then you weren't prepared to go into business. So to summarize, people are afraid. And the reason they're afraid is they're not prepared. So get prepared before you take that big leap.
I think that's great advice. My mantra has always been, the information will set you free. And the more informed you are, the less afraid you're going to be.
Exactly. And the problem is people just don't have the right amount of information or the right kind of information to really go out on their own. So don't go out on your own unless you're prepared.
Mm-hmm. You know what I find, Larry, is that when you have a boss, if your boss gave you some assignment that you had no idea what to do, you would kind of freak out, but then you'd figure it out. But when people become their own boss, suddenly they just, it's like they lose their brain. They don't even know how to think about what they need to be planning anymore.
You're right. That's exactly what people do. It seems like they just start scrambling. And, you know, one of the things that people in business can do is get sort of a board of advisors before you jump off, people that you can rely on. And it's a very informal process. Just say, I know when I'm in trouble over here, there's these people I can call. And so it's surrounding yourself with good people. And most people don't have that kind of network surrounding them. And this has to be in place before you quit your day job and give up your regular check. You have to have some of this stuff in place first.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's great advice. Instead of saying, I don't know how, change the question and say, who knows how? And where can
and
I
go
find
ask
them? And ask them. You know, the other thing that I find is that, I mean, there are people out there who are just plain lazy. They want you to go do the research for them.
Oh, you think?
really, no. They have this very unrealistic expectation about what it's going to be like when they are their own boss. So, you know, you talked about sweeping the floor. I've had clients who really want to start a little shop, and then their goal is to just kind of pop their head in every so often and see how it's going.
Yep.
You know, they just have a clue about the work involved. So I want you to maybe share a little of your story. I mean, you're incredibly successful, but it didn't happen overnight.
No, no. I'm one of those 20-year overnight successes. I've worked my butt off for a lot of years, and I did whatever it took, and I still work my butt off every single day to make sure I'm doing what it takes so people know who I am, so I will still be recognizable and relevant and bring value to my clients. And you have to be incredibly involved to do that. I am amazed at people, just like you said, who want to start a business so they can be their own boss and sit with their feet up and sit on the patio and just check on it every once in a while. And what happens is that that doesn't normally work out, and those people that you think care, it's not their business. So they don't care. You know, one of my true mentors, Joe Charbonneau, when I started in the business, he said something I found to be really, really important in my life. He said, of all the people who will never leave you, you are the only one, which means you only got yourself to count on. So you think those employees that you have hired, that they really care about your business, I promise they don't. It's your business, which means you have to be involved. You have to be there most of the time. You have to hire well, train well, stay on top of things. And it is harder, much harder to have your own business, not easier than it is to have a job.
Right, right. I mean, I always tell people I do work more hours than I ever did when I was in the corporate world. The difference is they're my hours. You know, if my boss said, I want you in here every weekend for the next 6 weeks, I'd be a little upset. But if I know I'm doing it to serve some greater goal of my own, it really feels different.
Well, yeah, because it's personal then. Mm-hmm. And the difference in when you have a job, if you go home early or if you call in sick or if a certain amount of work doesn't get done or if one person doesn't get the work done so you can't get your done, in the big scheme of things, that really doesn't have any impact on you. Next Friday, you're still going to get your paycheck. The world will still revolve. But when you're all on your own and something doesn't get done, or when you don't feel good, you don't have the option of calling in sick. The work still has to get done. You have customers who are relying on you, people who are relying on you. So all of those options are going to go away because next Friday, if you haven't done everything, you don't get a paycheck. And you may not get a paycheck even if you do everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is the good news, bad news about being self-employed. The thing that I like is that I have the option to essentially create money. You know, when I'm it was in my job, I was going to get a raise or I wasn't going to get a raise. It wasn't in my control for the most part. But when you're your own boss, you can, you know, you have much more control.
And you have a lot more freedom. And to me, that's the most important part. What you said, you get to work your own hours. You work more hours, but you get to choose which ones they are. And I think that really is the thing that most people should find the most alluring of the whole self-employed thing. You will work more hours, but you have much more freedom in the kind of hours you work, how you dress when you work those hours. The freedom is what I find to be the most appealing part of all of that. Plus, as you said, there's no cap on how much you earn. There's not that 4% cost of living. If you want to earn 400 times as much, then go work four times as hard. That's how it works.
Yeah. I'll never forget trying to get to a speaking engagement in Washington, and the flights were canceled. I got halfway down the highway with a snowstorm. I had to turn around and come back, and I sent out a couple emails, and I made what I would have made speaking, you know, but I was able to do it because I have my own business.
Yeah, and you have to do whatever it takes when you're all on your own. You don't have anyone else to rely on. It's up to you. And that whole personal responsibility thing, I think, scares people. But to me, I find that incredibly motivating, that it really is all up to me. And I like that part of it. I like sort of the high risk, high reward, and the knowing that the harder I work, the more money I'm going
to
make.
Yeah,
I was tired of working in corporate America
where
the harder I worked, it didn't make any difference. The more everybody the company made, but I didn't make any more money.
Uh-huh. You know, I used to do these time management workshops for a lot of different corporations around the country, and I'd try to get them to give me an example of something that was urgent and important. And it was, if it was a crisis, they'd all give me an example. You know, the FedEx didn't arrive in time, or, you know, something happened with a customer. But then I'd ask them to give me an example of an opportunity that they had to jump on right away, and they would just look at me. Unless they were in sales, they really didn't know what I meant. And that's when I realized, when you work for someone else, an opportunity is another word for more work, you know, another growth opportunity. We used to call them AFGOs when we'd walk out of a staff meeting, another you-know-what growth opportunity, because it just meant, you know, an opportunity meant more work. But when you work for yourself, an opportunity means more money.
Yep, and you do start, it changes your whole mindset about how you look at your life and your business. I love the fact that my success is totally up to me. And that I don't have to rely on the economy. I don't have to much rely on anything. It's up to me. I can always figure out a way to make more money. And if a person will prepare themselves and understand what it takes to market your business and manage your business and know that there will be times that you have to cut back on your lifestyle and cut back on your business plans in order to make sure that you have enough money to do the things that you need to do, and you'll start prioritizing differently, if you do that in preparation for going out on your own, there's nothing more rewarding.
Yeah, and you have famously said, and I love this line, and hopefully I'm quoting you correctly, dreams don't come true, plans do.
Yeah, that line actually upsets a lot of people, because we love the line that dreams, you just have to hold on to your dreams, and as long as you have dreams, everything will be okay. Oh, my God, what a load of crap. It's not about having a dream. It's about having a plan that can make that dream actually come true. And so many people have dreams, but very few people have plans. We spend more time planning our day off than we do planning our life. You ask somebody, what are you going to do this weekend? And they go, oh, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to run to Home Depot, and I've got to do shopping, and I've got to meet with my friends. And they'll tell you everything they've got to do this weekend. Well, what are you going to do this year to make sure you have a better year and it's more prosperous and more successful? And they will look at you like a dog looking at a ceiling fan.
And I bet your dogs do. That's true. It's true. Yeah, it's funny. I always say people spend more time planning a two-week vacation, but you're right. Just knowing what they're going to do that weekend, never mind the next year or the next, you know, what somebody actually asked recently, does everybody have a 10-year plan? And I think one person out of hundreds of people in the audience had a 10-year plan.
Well, my 10-year plan is for nobody to know who I am or where I am.
An island like Richard Branson. You know, you and I both know that there are people who say they want to change course, but they really are just plain lazy. You know, I had a guy call me, and he wanted some advice on getting into voiceover work, and I knew just enough to be dangerous. I told him a few things he had to do. He had to, you know, practice speaking. He had to make some recordings. He had to shop them around, and he's like, well, that sounds hard. Do you have anything easier?
Yeah, that's why most people aren't successful, is because it's hard. Yeah, and we always want an easy way out. And yet, I followed a guy at a big wealth management seminar by one of the biggest names in the entire industry, and I was hired to come in. And the guy who went on before me, the name of his speech was the easy way to become a millionaire. And he stood up there and said the dumbest stuff, and I followed him, and I went on and go, by the way, that guy, he's a liar. There's no easy way to become a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I know lots of millionaires. Most of my buddies are millionaires, and every one of us got there by working our asses off. None of us found it easy. And so these people who fall into this trap, and there's a lot of that crap going around right now. You can see it on the internet. You can't sign on to Facebook unless those ads come up over there on the right-hand side promising you that there's an easy way to reach a seven-figure income. Those are all scams, and they're all lies. There is no easy way to get rich. Don't fall victim to that. But our society is now looking for an easy way to do everything. And the people who truly build long-term successful careers know better than that. They know that it takes a plan and a conscientious effort every single day, and that you're constantly changing and repositioning and maneuvering and working in order to stay successful.
Yeah, and that you're going to fall down. I mean, you and I actually talked about this before. That I told you about a fellow who wrote and said he would take action if he knew that he wouldn't fail. And what did you tell me? That's like saying I'm not going to leave my house till all the lights.
Yeah, till all the lights turn green. And that's not how it works. The lights are never going to always turn green. One of the things that I think sets my message apart from a lot of others is that I guarantee failure. And I have a lot of the motivational idiots out there who say, Wingate, you shouldn't guarantee people will fail. And I go, but they will. Every journey of success is really a journey of overcoming failures.
Mm-hmm.
You will fail at most everything you do. But it just means that, and I think I heard the great definition, and I don't remember who said it. The definition of a hero is a person who stayed braver longer than everyone else. And that's really what being successful is about. You have to stay braver and keep putting up with a failure over and over and over and just sticking with it and learning from every failure so you don't repeat that one. But there'll be another one. And so it's not about winning all the time. It's about learning how to lose and doing it over and over again until you finally get it right.
Absolutely. You know, I often tell my audiences when I speak that, you know, that they're going to have an opportunity to fail or feel stupid sometime in the next 24, 48 hours. And if they don't, I'm scared for them because it means they're either dead or they stopped learning.
I totally agree. And normally 24 to 48 hours, that'd be a long stretch for me. I tell people I do more stupid stuff by noon than most people are going to do in a month. And that's maybe because I do more stuff by noon than most people do in a month.
That's
I
the difference.
Make
that's
a
the
lot
difference,
of mistakes.
Because you don't do anything, you're right, you're not going to fail. You're not going to, you know, falter.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I close my speeches with is how many plan on messing up? And somebody always raises their hand and say, well, who plans on messing up? Listen, if you don't plan on messing up, you don't ever plan on doing anything. Because if you're going to do anything, you're going to mess up. Just understand that. Learn to accept it. Learn to expect it. And then when you expect it and it happens, it won't surprise you. It won't defeat you. It won't turn you into this little puddle of emotions. And you'll say, uh-huh, that's a natural part of my progression toward being successful. Now, what did this failure teach me so I don't have to repeat this? Because every lesson will be repeated until it is learned. Mm-hmm. I heard that 25 years ago. Every lesson will be repeated until it's learned. I try to learn the lesson quickly so I don't have to repeat it.
Right, move on to the next lesson. Well, I also find that people want to know everything ahead of time, and it's just not knowable. I mean, I'll launch some kind of a program. I'm getting ready to do that now, and people will say, well, what's going to happen when this happens? And I'll say, I don't know. I've never done this before. We'll find out, and when we get there, we'll figure it out.
Exactly. I do think that you have to get as much education as you can, as much information as you can, and prepare as much as you can. But at some point, it does always become this leap of faith where you just do your best. And when it happens, you figure it out along the way. I've told my people who work for me for years and years and years, you just make the decision. When people say, but what if I make the wrong decision? Well, you'll know quicker that it was the wrong decision. And sometimes you just make the decision. Instead of worrying about making the right decision, you make the decision and then make that decision right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I was speaking at L'Oreal once in New York, and this woman said she just kept procrastinating and procrastinating. Her boss finally said, there is no one thing that you can do that's going to bring this company down. So just take a chance and do something.
Well, the best guy I ever had work for me, and I've written about him in a lot of my books, is a guy called Cowboy, and I would always leave him in charge, and he was just this big kind of dumb cowboy kind of guy that rubbed a lot of folks the wrong way, and I would always leave him in charge. And somebody asked me, why do you leave him in charge? I said, because if I say to get it done, it'll get done. It may not be pretty, but it will get done. And I always told him, you can't break it so bad that somebody can't fix it. So just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he always took me at my word, and sometimes he challenged me. It was hard to fix some of the stuff he did, but he took action. And so we got more results, accomplished a whole lot more, and even though it wasn't always pretty, the bottom line is the work got done.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's important. Listen, I want to switch gears a little bit because I want to make sure we get this next part in. I have been studying with you for a number of months now, and I signed up to do that because I want to really step up my own game as a professional speaker. And, I mean, my God, the investment that I made in working with you has already paid off 10 times over. You know, so I did that because I know that if you're going to get better at anything, then you need to learn from people who you admire, who you respect, and who are way ahead of you. And you are way ahead of me. So, but as I think about my own audience here, Larry, at Changing Course or even in my other business at ImposterSyndrome.com, a lot of people know, like me, that they want to share something with the world. They might want to write a book. They might want to start blogging or create an information product or speak or be a coach. And one of the most powerful things that I learned from you that I want you to talk about, if you would, is that we often focus on the wrong thing. We spend all this energy crafting our message, but you say we need to be focusing on something else.
Yeah, we need to have an opinion. People think that their content is golden, that the words that come from their mouths or from their typewriter or their blog or their computer or whatever, that those matter to people. They don't. I don't care how good your content is. I promise you, I can find that same content from somebody else for free. So there's no reason for me to ever pay anybody for their content. Content is overrated. When you go to watch everybody on television and they're giving you content, and you watch the news channel, I can flip to the other five major news deliverers, from Fox to CNN to CNBC to MSNBC to NBC, ABC, and CBS, and I'll guarantee you I'm getting basically the same content. The basis of the story will be on every one of them. You choose the channel you watch based on the opinion surrounding that information. That's how you make your choice. And so the fact that I talk about leadership, everybody talks about leadership. The fact that I want to talk about customer service or I want to talk about health or parenting, big deal. I mean, thousands of people cover the very same content that I cover. Nobody is ever going to pay me for my content. They will pay me for my opinion. An opinion that is well articulated and that is well communicated and that is grounded in common sense and backed up with some facts, that is what people will pay a premium for.
And you know, this might sound funny, but I found that remarkably liberating. You know, I think a lot of us struggle with, you know, what's my message? What's my message? But we have an opinion. We all have an opinion.
That's the only thing I can't get from somebody else, is your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why people will pay you.
On this book that I've been writing as part of my process in working with you, it was really helpful to think in terms of every chapter needs to have an opinion. Again, it was incredibly liberating.
Well, good. And I appreciate that you say that. See, I think that I could take 10 people and pass out 10 pieces of fact and hand each one of them the same fact, and what could be fascinating if they would all embrace it is that every single one of those people would have a different opinion about that fact.
Mm-hmm.
I could say test scores in the United States have never been lower in the area of math and science. That is a fact. Now, what does that mean to you? to me, it means that parents aren't involved and that they should be making sure that their kids find an interest in those areas and work hard in those areas to develop those skills. I wrote a whole book around that, Your Kids Are Your Own Fault. It's about parental involvement. The next person would immediately say, our schools are not doing a good job. Somebody would immediately go to, and that's because the government is spending too much money in all these other areas. Everybody would have an opinion, but the fact would remain the same. And then the audience will align themselves with the opinion that most aligns with their beliefs. And so the goal of everybody who's a communicator out there, a speaker, a messenger, a coach, whatever, should be to have an opinion, not be afraid to express that opinion, and look for the audience that will align themselves to you and your opinion.
You know, it's simple, but I'm not even sure that you know how profound it is. I've been in a lot of different groups lately and talked to some really successful entrepreneurs, and I've been quoting you, and every time I say that, they go, "Wow, wow," you know, and you just see this shift. So it's important, and now I really pay attention to people who speak, who write, people on TV a lot more now that I have that kind of frame. And I think it gives us confidence, too. We don't have to run around saying, I think or I believe. We can just state our opinion.
Well, I've got a new book coming out later this fall called Grow a Pair. And one of the things that I do is attack that whole I think, I believe stuff. I want people to just state their opinion. I don't want anybody to ever say, in my humble opinion. Why should your opinion be humble? It's your opinion. Be proud of it. Just say what you believe. And if you do that with confidence, see, because I don't believe that people want to hear what you have to say. I don't believe that people really listen much or even believe what you have to say. But I do find that people really want and believe it. If you believe it, they want you to believe what you have to say. And so you have to say it with confidence, non-apologetically, and just get your opinion out there.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to have a speaking or writing coaching business to do that. Who were those folks that were at that event who had they're truckers, and you spoke at their at their event. You know who I mean? They have some kind of...
Yeah, the Rutherfords. I love those folks. I'm doing their event again this year.
Yeah, I think it's just such an interesting way that people have taken an interest that they had, a niche market, and monetized it. Can you just tell people about that a little bit?
Sure. This guy was a trucker, and he ran a very successful trucking business and was very successful being a truck driver. And he decided that he would put together education for truckers so they could also run successful trucking businesses, even if they were one-man shops. And he started doing these little workshops for them. And those workshops quickly grew till he had hundreds of people showing up in Kansas City mid-year and filling a big ballroom. And what he also discovered is not only do these people not get a lot of education about their own industry, they don't get a lot of education about life and finance and everything, every area. And so what he has done is built a week-long seminar for people. Then he brings in people like me and parenting experts and financial experts, and these people clamor to attend and pay big bucks to do so, and clamor to attend a conference that lasts a full week in an industry that had never had that. Now, he took a very specialized skill and took it to a specialized market, and then expanded the information that he was willing to teach, and he has developed an incredible industry. He also has a radio show on Sirius, and he has a podcast, and he has all kinds of stuff right now, all built around one simple idea.
Wow, I love that. And he had a dream, and he created a plan.
He had a plan, and he very methodically made it happen.
Yeah, wow! I love that story. I want to look those guys up and interview them. Well, we're gonna need to wrap up, but any just final parting advice that you can offer to the people out there who really do want to find a way to make a living, hopefully doing something that they enjoy.
You know what I would tell folks is, and it's the same advice I give no matter what I'm talking about, is take 3 sheets of paper, write down on the first sheet of paper where you are right now in your career and your life and your finances and your relationships. On the second sheet of paper, write down how you'd like for it to be. Go ahead and have your dream there next to it. In every single area of life, write down how you would really like for your life to be. And on a third sheet of paper, I want you to write down what you're going to give up to get from where you are to where you want to be. Because life and success is about sacrifice, what you're going to willingly give up in order to get there. You can't have it all. You're going to have to choose. And so that's really a litmus test for people to put themselves through, to understand, if I'm not willing to give up security, then you don't need to go out on your own. If I'm not willing to give up knowing that next Friday there's going to be a paycheck and it's going to be exactly this amount, that I'm not willing to go out and be an entrepreneur. So that's sort of a test right there of writing down where you are, where you want to be, and then asking yourself, what am I willing to give up to make that happen? It's a real good test for people who are thinking about giving up a day job and going out to become an entrepreneur.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, but the only thing I don't want anybody to give up is watching you on TV.
I appreciate that, and I'm on there a lot, lots of different channels, and people can follow me on my fan book page and Facebook page, the Larry Wingate fan page on Facebook, and they'll find out when I'm going to be on, and you will see me. I got a new show I'm working on right now.
I know, I'm really excited about that. Well, I know your goal is not to make a difference and change the world, but I do want you to know, Larry, that you really have, in the very short time that I've gotten to know you, you really have made a difference in my life and changed my world. So I want to thank you
for
that.
Well, that's a sweet thing for you to say. I appreciate that so much. And I've enjoyed this conversation. I really have.
Great, me too. All right, well, listen, everybody, thanks so much for listening in. And, Larry, thank you so much. Take care, everybody.